Go ahead, we're now recording.
Thank you very much, Ricardo. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the UDRP domain name lock meeting on the 19th of July, 2012. On the call today, we have Alan Greenberg, Matt Schneller, Hago de Fala, Juan Manuel Rojas, Michele Nalen, Luke Zoyfer, Laurie Anderson, Brian Beckham, Jonathan Tenenbaum, and Volker Greiman, who's just joined the Adobe Connect. From staff, we have Mirka Koenig, Barry Cobb, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Natalie Peregrine. And we have two apologies from David Meyer and Gabriela Slack. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good whatever other options are available to us. Thanks to Alan for looking after the after everything last week. Unfortunately, as I was explaining before we started recording, I was somewhere where, well, A, I was on holiday, and B, I didn't have access to Wi-Fi where I was. And for the record, we have another apology there from David Roach Turner. Okay, then. So, today we're looking, we're starting off as usual with roll call done and any updates to anybody's SOI. Going once, going twice. No, fine, perfect. Okay, then. We were looking last week, I believe, at the survey responses and conclusions from the survey. So, how far had we got, Alan? Somebody?
I think we finished, actually.
Marika? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. We on last week's call, I took everyone through the results that we received with regard to the registrar survey as well as the UDRP or the UDRP provider survey. I think the question is because I basically, you know, just ran through the report I drew up. So basically, I think the homework for everyone was to have a look at that and see whether there were any further points of discussion in there or any other findings people thought that were worth sharing. Also to know that we didn't really go into depth with regard to the open questions where we also asked input, noting that it might be more helpful to actually take those comments once we start looking at the charter questions and then, you know, group those together in relation to each of the charter questions and review those in that context instead of maybe going through those now. So based on the discussion last week and having had another look at the two surveys, what I did and what you see up on the screen, which I also send around together with the agenda, is my first attempt at trying to derive some general findings or conclusions based on the feedback received and on the responses to the survey. So I don't know if people already had a chance to look at that, and I think the question is really, do people feel that this adequately represents the data that was provided? Are there any other findings that we should be including here? I would like to ask Barry as well, and I don't mean to put Barry on the spot, but Barry had a look at that cross-referencing some of the data to see whether there were any other findings that might be worth including here based on comparing and contrasting some of questions that are related. And I think then the next question is basically, where do we go from here? Because I think the discussion we had initially where one of the objectives or where one of the first requirements in the charter is for the working group to go out for and request public input, I think the discussion then was like, well, let's first wait till we have the results of the survey and see if the survey inspires any kind of additional questions we might want to ask as part of a public comment forum or as part of our request to other GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies as well as other ICANN SOs, ACs for input. So I think the question is, you know, based on what we've learned, are there any particular issues you think we need to highlight as part of the public comment forum or request for input, or are we just going out with a more general kind of announcement saying, look, this is work has kicked off now. These are the charter questions we've been asked to look at. You know, we did do a survey already asking registrars and UDRP providers for their views. This is the feedback we got. You know, these are the findings our conclusions we took from that survey. And now we're actually asking you for, you know, any other additional input you might want to share that you think will help us answer these charter questions. So I think that's where we're basically at.
Okay, thanks. Sorry, I just read, hands up, I have to say that I literally got off a plane last night and haven't had a chance to do much beyond that. Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Brian. I just wanted to say, in terms of the summary that Mariko's helpfully provided and going back to the questions of the survey themselves, question 15, by way of clarification, and I suppose we have to have some mea culpa here because we helped draft the questions, we answered less than 25% of cases involved a privacy or proxy shield, and just by way of clarification, I thought it would be useful to note, really, I guess this can be read as two questions. So out of those roughly 25% of cases where there is a privacy and proxy shield, this sort of sub question there is which percentage of those cases involving a privacy or proxy registration is there an underlying registrant revealed? And for us, that's about 75%. So I don't know if it's useful to clarify that in terms
sorry,
of
sorry, just one second,
summary.
Ryan. Sorry, one second. Are you saying, so you're saying that you're talking about two separate things here, one where there is a privacy proxy and the other one where the privacy proxy is revealed. Is that what you're saying?
Right. So it's in a quarter of WIPO cases, there is a privacy or proxy service, and then out of those cases, 75% of those privacy proxy shields reveal the underlying registrant. The other 25% don't.
Okay. So I'm just making sure I understood what you're saying. Monica?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think what I may want to suggest then is that we clarify that in the summary document, saying additional feedback was received, from one of the respondents indicating that, what you just said, that 25% of cases do have proxy privacy service, and 75% of those, the underlying registrant is revealed at that time. So, or if you prefer to suggest some wording, otherwise I'll happily add something there because I think it is important indeed to clarify that.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Don't all rush. Okay, for those of you in Europe who till the afternoon, you have no excuse. You should all be wide awakened and full of energy. Have you any thoughts or other comments on this? No? Barry, you're good at crunching data. Did you find anything else of interest?
Morning, McKaylee. This is Barry. Kind of. I've only worked on the registrar survey because it had the more responses than the UDRP one. And in essence, I don't know that there's anything glaringly different than the summary that Marika had provided. I just kind of whipped together or compared two questions. For instance, when is the lock applied and the time frame for applying the lock? And so you can see some correlation between there and how the pivot tables are shown out. Some of the other questions were a little bit more difficult to compare together, but I still put them into a pivot table so that we could see percentages of response to respondents. And like I said, I haven't really started playing with the UDRP provider survey yet, but it does look like there's a couple that could be compared together. For instance, is the domain name locked, when is it locked, and when is it unlocked kind of analysis. But I won't have that until the next meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Barry. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple of things that came up at the last meeting, which you'll catch if you get around to listening to the MP3 and looking at the chat notes. But in the registrar survey, there are at least some questions where the answers are inconsistent with each other. probably not in really onerous ways, but nevertheless, that's something to remember. The other thing is, because of the way the questions were answered, it would appear that at least some registrars do not consider changing the registrant's name in whois to be a whois change. So just along the way, as we're formulating any recommendations, we should keep this kind of thing in mind to be, you know, really explicit, clear what we mean. That's about the only comments I had.
Okay, so you're saying that what constitutes a registrant change should be clearer.
Well, the issue came up because we asked, the combination of questions of do you allow whois change, do you lock whois? Yes, but then a significant number of people said they for domains that were subject to privacy services or proxy services, they changed the registrant's name. And the percentages were such that the two couldn't coexist if the change of a registrant's name was deemed to be a change in whois.
Okay.
So, it just reinforces something that's already clear, that we need to be really precise, because an awful lot of the things that are there right now are using terms which are not defined and people interpret them differently.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments at this time from anybody?
Marika has
Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the point that Alan made is maybe important as well to highlight in the summary document, and maybe we can do that in the form of a footnote, just saying that based on the discussions, it did become clear that, you know, some registrars do not consider, when the registrant is revealed after listing of privacy or proxy service, a change in whois, just to make a note of that. So indeed, it's already clear from there and can be considered as well going forward.
Yes, it's Alan. That may be a valid position to take, but again, we need to be precise in what we mean, what we want to allow people to do.
Okay. Any other comments from anybody? All right, then. Marika, when did you send out this summary thing? Was it just yesterday, I think? Did I see that come into my inbox?
Yeah, it is, Marika. I think it was probably, because I'm in LA, I think still it was here Tuesday, but probably for most people it was Wednesday when you got it in your inbox. And it's also posted on the wiki.
Right, okay. So I would assume that some people have read it, but other people may not have had a chance to.
Right.
Okay, so what I would suggest people do then is maybe have a look over it between now and the next meeting, and if anybody has any feedback or suggestions for any changes to it, that they make them. Okay, then. Any other things on item number 2 on the agenda? Sorry, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, and this is Marika. What I'll do is I'll push out an updated version sometime later today where I just incorporate those 2 points that we discussed today. And I think Barry just told me as well that he's looking as well a bit further on the registrar responses and trying to see if there's anything else based on that what we might want to include in the findings. So you should see that as well on the mailing list sometime today or tomorrow probably. So then hopefully indeed on next week's call, or, you know, if people have further comments on the mailing list, we can actually finalize the findings as such.
Okay, perfect. Now, the other thing as well, just looking at agenda items number 3 and number 4, at the moment, the work group is meeting weekly, but I'm also conscious of the fact that quite a few people will be taking holidays or are taking holidays or are about to take holidays between now and September. So what I was going to suggest maybe is that instead of meeting weekly, we move to meeting once every 2 weeks between now and September. Does anybody have any objections or any thoughts or any other input on this? don't all rush. Marika? Okay, Luke likes the idea. Alan likes the idea. Marika has her hand up, and I'll get you in a second. Okay, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm also perfectly fine with that idea, especially since I'm going on holiday myself, too. but something the working group might want to consider, and I guess that's, you know, the discussion we're probably going to go back to now, is that this might then be a good time as well to move forward with opening the public comment forum and actually reaching out to the different GNSOs, stakeholder groups and constituencies and SOs and ACs for their input. So that will give them some time to gather that, for example, for the stakeholder group statements and constituency statements. I think there's a requirement to give them a minimum of 35 days to prepare that. For the public comment forum, there's the 21 plus 21 days minimum to let that run. So if indeed, you know, taking into account the holidays, it might be a good moment to move all that out so people can start working on that, and then hopefully some of you will be able as well to work with your stakeholder groups and constituencies to try to get further input to consider. So you know, it might be a good use of time, even though we might be scaling back on some of the working group meetings themselves.
Thanks, Marika. You've managed to say exactly what I was going to suggest. So if we were to, if we scale back the frequency of the meetings between now and September, and also at this time go looking for the public input and the input from the SOs and the ACs, then this would make a lot of sense to me. In terms of the SOs and the ACs, well, the various stakeholder groups and everything else, who is the GNSO liaison here?
It's Joy Lidicote.
Okay, but Alan's also on the GNSO, aren't you, Alan?
Not technically. I'm a liaison, which means I'm not technically a member, and I certainly can't be a liaison. I can pass messages back and forth, however.
Well, it was more to do with the practical communication aspect of it more than
that. Yeah.
And this is Marika. The way we typically do it, and I think I'll need to look back, because I think I did prepare a request for input at the beginning of this working group, so I might just revisit that and see if that's still up to date or you know, based on the survey as well, we want to include some other information, and I can push it out again to the working group to see if people are happy with, you know, the way that asks for input. But the way we typically do it is basically work through the GNSO secretariat and have them send it out to the different stakeholder groups and constituencies and ask for their input, and they are normally then as well the ones that collect the information and then feed that back to the working group, you know, through me or directly to the mailing list. And for the same thing for the outreach to the different SOs, ACs, normally Glenn then gets that out because she's, you know, has access to, I think it's the liaison mailing list where the different chairs are on, and I think we now also have a new joint mailing list where the different SOs and ACs are on, so we could use that channel as well with a kind of general statement based on the input request for the SOs, ACs, or possibly as well point them to the public comment forum that is open and encouraging them to either, you know, participate there or, you know, send in their separate statements. So again, I'm happy to draft something for that the working group can have a look at between now and next week possibly.
Okay, thanks, Marika.
Michaela, that translates to staff is far more competent than us volunteers.
I don't think we should ever say that. We wouldn't want to encourage.
Say that.
We wouldn't want to encourage them.
I say it all the time.
Yeah, their heads will swell, though, man. I mean, you just don't want to do that. That's really not a good idea. Okay, then. So, Marika, how long do you think it will take you to get an updated version of these various things?
This is Marika. I think I would be able to put something together either, you know, between today and tomorrow and get that out to all of you. I need to look back because I don't know if we already did something similar as well for the public comment forum, because the way that works, we need to fill in a template that basically, you know, outlines what is the input we're looking for, you know, by when do we need it, where can people find additional information. So I can prepare as well a draft of that and then maybe send those three separate things out to the mailing list for people to review, and depending on, you know, how much time you want to give people, know, if we don't get any comments, then we just start, you know, pushing it out and publishing that. So I don't know what you think, how much time people will need.
Okay. Well, the only thing I was just going to say is if we're also changing the frequency of the meetings, then, you know, we'd probably want to do is try and get this moving on the mailing list rather than waiting for the next meeting.
Right.
Because otherwise we end up where the two concepts suddenly end up completely out of sync, if you know what I mean, as in the idea that we were going to achieve lots of things while we weren't meeting regularly. We put the ball or the game or the... Oh, I'm looking for a metaphor. I'm looking for a metaphor that won't get me into trouble. But anyway, if we don't put that in motion, then we're going to have problems.
Excuse me. If I can make another comment, I think, you know, it partly depends on the question. Do people feel that based on the feedback we received from the survey, there are any specific questions we need to ask? Or are we, you know, comfortable with just going out with the more general questions of saying, look, you know, these are the charter questions we've been given. These are the issues we're looking at. And here you already got from registrars and UDRP providers, and if you have any views on that, you can also share those. But basically, the broader question is, you know, just provide us with anything you think is helpful for us when we study these charter questions and start our deliberations.
Okay.
So I don't know if there are specific views on that, if people feel we do need to ask, there are specific questions we can ask, or whether, you know, at this stage, we're more in a position to ask more the general question, like, you know, tell us anything you think might be useful in this context.
Okay, I'm seeing people typing away there, but nothing's coming through yet. Okay, we're not going to say anything about what Luke has been putting into the chat. We're going to ignore that. I assume that was to do with the background noise. Does anybody have any comments? Matt has a question. Do we want to go back to the registrars informally and add a de minimis option to the questions that they answered as less than 25%? Any thoughts on that? No?
I apologize. I meant the feed providers. In the last call, we discussed briefly whether the answers that were just under 25% were specific enough, or whether we needed to go back and ask the dispute service providers whether they were essentially seeing few to no cases of the types of answers where they had answered less than 25%.
Okay.
Since we only had four or five service providers answer, it may be easier to go back to them for that extra information rather than sending out a completely new survey or doing something like that.
So you're saying for the dispute providers, not for the registrars, is that correct? Or am I
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Marika, and then Alan.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think for some of the questions, one of the UDRP providers did provide some data or indicating where indeed it was less than 25%. I think they were able to provide specific information. So I think on some of that we might have it, but you know, for the others, it needs for the group to decide if at this point it's you know, would be helpful to have that further clarifications.
Alan?
Yeah, Michele. Thank you. I was going to say what Marika said. At least, I think one of the providers qualified it and said it, the number is really less than 5% or something like that. And that brought up the question of, are the other ones really seeing substantive numbers like 20%, or is it also just minimal outliers? So it may be useful. I wouldn't really want to cause whoever didn't answer it like that to go over their whole data again, but sort of an off the cuff gut feel of yes, most of the 25% or lesses were really 5% or lesses or something that would be useful, I think, in knowing that we're really dealing with outside outlying cases and not a significant fraction of the norm. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Just Michele. Marika, there were how many dispute providers responded to the survey? Three? Four?
Four. We had all UDRP providers respond, and just, you know, actually we have two of those are members of the working group, and I think both are on the call. I think Brian and Christine are both from WIPO and NAF are on the call, so I'm not sure if they are in a position to provide feedback at this stage, or, you know, maybe on the mailing list they can come back to that.
Okay, well, okay, the question I was just going to simply ask is this then, is, you know, if it's just a simple clarification on these on the lower end, I mean, how much effort is involved just to go back with informally to the dispute providers and just ask for that?
This is Christine from NAF. I'm sorry I stepped in kind of late. For us, it's not a problem for us to go in and find a little bit more specific data and come up with some concrete numbers. You know, the 5% that I gave was sort of, in a couple of the questions, was sort of an estimate just based on, you know, just my day-to-day handling of the domain name dispute, you know, issues that crop up. So I think it would take, you know, a week or two for us to actually go in and analyze the data. But we could, you know, we could easily do that. That would not be a problem at all.
Okay, thanks, Christine. I mean, the thing I suppose is this, is what the guys are saying is, okay, the questions we'd asked were in relation to brackets of 25%. So the simple thing really is, are we looking at an answer where you're going on the low end, you know, kind of 2, 3, 4, 5%, or is it on the high end up closer to the 25% mark? It wouldn't be a question of having 100% accurate, maybe accurate isn't the word I'm looking for. It's not a question of 100% precise. It's more to do with kind of in broad scopes, whether it's close at the higher end or at the lower end. Marika, go ahead.
And this is Marika, and maybe an easier way to do that instead of having to go back to all the separate questions is actually looking at the findings, because I think at the end of the day, the survey findings is what we're going to be including in the report. You know, of course, linking as well to the full survey, but I think there it is relatively easy to include something like, you know, on those questions where it's less than 25%, noting that, you know, the two members of the working group, UDFP providers that are members of the working group, indicated that the 25% is actually at the lower end or at the higher end or something like that. So there's an indication that, you know, that 25% is either, you know, it's really a quarter or it's actually more to the 1 to 2% of cases. So maybe that is an easier way to, you know, get that more accurate without, you know, maybe requiring a lot of work going back to each of the different questions, if that will be acceptable to the working group and you know, the UDRP providers on this call.
Thanks. Any other thoughts on this? Brian, any thoughts?
No, nothing really to add other than what Christine said earlier, which is that we're happy to look at individual questions and provide more detail. We have done a sort of a sampling of our cases. And so, yeah, we can gladly provide more detail to help give some more precision to these answers.
Okay, thank you. Okay, then, so, Marika, would you rather proceed with that then?
Yeah, this is Marika. If people want to go back to the specific questions, that's fine, and then we can still include that as a, you know, part of the findings. And, you know, again, I think after following this call, I'll update the findings document with the two comments that we noted during the call today. And then, you know, again, anyone can there make additional suggestions as well on how to clarify some of the data, or you know, providing maybe a footnote saying, you know, based on additional review of our data, we actually see that it's, you know, closer to X, Y percent instead of, you know, 25%. So we can do it either way.
Okay. Right. Okay, then. The other, any other charter requirements that we have that we need to address at this stage? Oh, and Matt is volunteering to send stuff through. So if you could do that, Matt, as soon as possible, that would be helpful. Are there any other charter issues that we need to address at this juncture? Marika, putting you on the spot again, even though I know it's early in the morning there.
No, this is Marika, and I think that maybe a question, I don't know where you want to go into there now, because of course, part of getting the input at some point, we need to actually start looking at the charter question. So one of the questions will be, do we already have, can we already start looking at the charter questions, for example, based on some of the comments that were provided by the registrars and the UDRP providers in response to the survey, or do working group members think it might be better to wait until all the information is received from different stakeholder groups and constituencies and the public comment forum, and then start going through those all at the same time. So that might be something more of an approach kind of question. And I think we still have the open issue of if I send out these documents or the call for, the request for public comment and the stakeholder group statements, how much time do people need to review that for before we can actually launch those? So noting that probably we'll be able to get out either today or tomorrow.
Okay, perfect. Thanks, Marika. Okay, then. So moving forward, then, we agree that we will meet every 2 weeks. So looking at my calendar, which I'm going to pull up here so I can actually see what the hell I'm talking about. So today is... So the next call would be the 2nd of August. Is that okay for everybody? Does anybody have any issues with this?
This is Juan Manuel.
Hi, Juan Manuel.
Hi, I was hearing that you are proposing that every 2 weeks that we make our meeting instead of weekly, and I am understanding when.
The next meeting would be on the 2nd of August.
Okay.
You're doing this because a lot of people are going on holidays.
Okay. Okay, for me it's good. I don't know what I think all everything someone else, but for me it's good.
Okay, I mean, I know that Volker, for example, is gone pretty much for the entire month of August. Volker, you're gone for most of August, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll be back in the last week of August.
Yes, it's okay. We're just ignoring you.
Well,
we're not ignoring you. Yeah, I thought you might be. So that's fine. Anybody else have any questions, queries, or issues with the new meeting schedule? So just for clarification, we would be meeting on the 2nd of August, the 16th of August, and the 30th of August, and then from September onwards, we'd be back to a weekly schedule. Okay, perfect. Right then. So Marika has a whole load of wonderful things that she's going to be doing for us, and then we're all going to be very good and do all our homework and read the documents she sends us and get everything moving so we can get some public input on this. So does anybody have any other issues they want to raise at this juncture? No?
This is Marika. I still would like to hear what deadline you want me to put on review of those documents. What would be a reasonable time?
Oh, sorry. I would say if you can get the documents... These are the documents for the public input, yes?
Yes, correct. So it would be the draft text for the public comment forum, the draft text to request input from stakeholder groups and constituencies, and probably a draft email to request input from other ICANN stakeholder groups, SOs and ACs.
Okay, well, they should all be quite short and quite similar.
Right.
Unless you want to upset people and make them read lots and lots of text. So would it be unreasonable to say that we would expect people to provide input on them by next Wednesday? Does anybody have any issues with that? I mean, they're not very long texts, and all of them should be very, very similar anyway.
This is Christine. That sounds reasonable.
Thank you. Okay, Christine says it sounds reasonable. Does anybody disagree with Christine? And please disagree with the point, not with the person. Sorry, because everybody disagrees with me just for the fun of it. Okay, going once. Okay, so you all agree. So by next Wednesday, you're not going to turn around Wednesday afternoon and ask for an extension. Perfect. Working on the basis that your silence equals assent. So, Marika, if you can get that out to us as soon as possible, and then we can get input back from people as quickly as possible, and then we can all move forward. Any other issues? Okay, then. How about I give you back 20 minutes of your day?
Sold.
And for those of you who are disappearing on holidays, who won't be around for the next couple of weeks, enjoy yourselves and get a nice tan.
Thank you, Michele.
Speak to you all in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Okay.
And via email in the interim. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you to all.
Ricardo, can you please stop the recording? Thank you very much.